Welcome to Identity Church Sunday Morning Message, where sonship is revealed. Stay tuned at the end of this message to receive more information about resources available through Identity Church. Now grab your Bible, sit back, and enjoy a message from Identity Church that is already in progress.
So how y'all doing today? Just listen to me. So if you were prayed for and there is a noticeable difference where your pain level is less than 20%, then I want you to stand up real quick. I mean, it's noticeably different. You physically know God healed you. You can feel it right now. Wow. Thank you, God. Yeah. Come on. Yeah, God. Wow. Wait. Stay up. Yeah. So everyone that's around these folks, just reach out and touch them. And would you do something? Look, I think sometimes we see healing take place and see miracles take place, and we forget to be grateful for them. This is supernatural stuff. It's becoming more normal in the kingdom of God, but we still need to remain grateful for it. So if you're near them, reach out and touch them and just say, thank you, Lord, for touching my brother, my sister, my friend. Yeah, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for your blood. Just say, thank you, Jesus, for your blood. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Yeah. Young lady that just got healed, your hip got healed. What is your first name? Gracie. Of course it is. Yeah. Oh, you're one of Ron's daughters. Okay. Yeah. And Stephanie's daughters. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. I knew Ron first. Yeah. So Gracie, you are coming into a new season. God's unfolding some things before you that you've never seen before. And you're going to have a decision. Do I just kind of like chuck that and act the right way, but not allow that stuff to affect you or to really embrace it? And it's your decision. And God will honor your decision. He'll bring you back around. If you choose to chuck it, and I wouldn't advise that, because life's going to get more difficult for you, because the enemy, you're not going to have the tools. Your mom and dad are very, very, very anointed people, and they carry a lineage to you guys that's very amazing. And so the enemy wants to mark you. You've heard this stuff before. You know what I'm talking about. But I'm just telling you, you're right in that moment right now. And so I just pray for my little sister Gracie in Jesus' name, that you would help her to embrace in everything that God has that he's unfolding in front of you. Is that okay that I prayed for you? All right. Yeah. And sweetie, I'm picking on Stephanie's kids and Ron's kids, but yeah, you, what is your first name?
Hannah.
That's right. Yeah, I heard it about five times because I kept asking people, who is that? Wow. No. You don't, not like, you think I'm just this preacher blowing smoke and, you know, and but I'm telling you, wow. There is something that was, when I was praying for Charles, and that big old tree fell to the ground, and part of that was due to what you were doing right around me. And there's an anointing that's flowing from you. And I'm telling you what I saw. And I normally don't talk like this, but as you were moving, they were like wings. And what it was, like as you spun like this, I saw angels and their wings just flowing with you. And just delighting, because you really do love Jesus. You really do genuinely love Jesus. Thank you for that. So Lord, I just bless her, and I bless the path that's in front of her. I thank you in Jesus' name. Yeah. Drummer boy. Let me see your socks. Come on. Take the shoes off. I want to see the socks. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's up in the drum box, and he's like got his feet up in there, and I saw his socks, and I thought, oh, it's not too far. He's going to be in his bare feet drumming. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good job. Were you really?
Yeah.
Nice.
I put my socks.
What's your name?
Cole.
Why haven't I met you yet? Yeah. Who do you belong to? Anyone here, or you just come? Oh, okay. Ah. Yeah, yeah. No, I didn't. Sorry, man. I just, yeah, keep it up. Keep it up. Yeah, especially when you get on the toms, you know what that does. There's a, and you feel it, there's a warring thing that comes on. And here's what it'll do. When you get these guys to get off their stick and start worshiping, and Rodney's about to provoke the guys here to start worshiping, they're going to have a worship night here. And you ladies aren't allowed. You don't want to come because it's going to be ugly. You know, it's going to be ugly. But I'm telling you, if you'll come and help them with that, all right, would you do that for me as a favor? Because we've been friends for a long time, 10, 15 minutes, something like that. Yeah. All right. And so if you would come and help with that and see if you can find some guitar player somewhere. I don't know if you know of any, you know, anything like that. But no, really, guys, listen to me. There's a penetration that God wants to bring you to. I'm telling you, when guys worship unashamedly, I'm telling you, they become kings. I'm telling you, there's an anointing. And wait, not only do they become kings, but they become some of the greatest kings when they learn to worship unashamedly. And how many of you ladies want the men of this house to worship unashamedly? I mean, there's guys here that you worship, but I'm not going to say any names, Jay, that God's going to ratchet up. You know what I mean, Mike? You with me? Because you're a worshiper, and you're like, come on, guys. See, he hides behind his guitar. He's just like Mr. Joe Cool with his guitar, right? You know, but no, really, he has a worshiper's heart. And you know, when you guys do that night, just a thought, I mean, just you need to really teach a few minutes on what comes against a man that keeps him from worshiping unashamedly, and what God is doing to reverse all of that. It's something you need to teach on, providing you guys say that's good, okay? Amen? Amen. All right, so look, I got this amazing message that, you know, just... it'll just, just make your head go, ah, you know, and all that. But I don't think that's what God wants to do right now. I just want to talk as a friend of, well, I'm not a friend of the family. I'm part of the family. I'm an uncle of the house, okay? And can I just talk to you like that for right now? Because I can see it so clearly where you all are headed and what God is up to. Somebody told me a dream that they had, and I might have been Marcia, that they were in a cab and that they were going. Was that you, Marcia? Yeah, yeah. If you don't know Marcia, wave your hand, Marcia. Stand up. Say, I'm Marcia. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You need to get to know her. She is an amazing lady. You guys got a lot of amazing people here. Wow, Billy. Seriously. I mean, wow. I mean, it feels so right. It feels right as rain here. Look, when you go into a church you haven't been into for a while, even though we're family and stuff, you know, there's oftentimes an awkwardness. There's been zero awkwardness here. Zero. I'm just telling you, yeah. Yeah, so God wants to ratchet up the men in worship. But in the big picture, I saw when Marcia was telling me this vision, she was in a cab, and it said the cab turned a curve, turned a corner is the word you used, and ended up at the airport. And let me tell you what that is. So God has been moving you, and you all have turned a corner, and you're about to launch. You're about to go into, and I know everybody that comes, they're saying, oh, God's doing greater things and all, you know. I'm just telling you what I see. Don't believe me. Just watch it. Just watch it, because it's going to happen. And some of the things you're going to do, you know, are going to work. Some of them aren't going to work, like, you know, but God's going to bring people in spite of all of that stuff, because he's got a way. And we're just doing what we know to do, and we do it the best we can. But God is the one who's the author of all of that stuff. And there's going to be, and I speak right now to the region, because I'm a regional guy. And I have some authority here because of my brother and sister and the relationship I have with them, and because you've given me a place here, but also because of the apostolic mantle that's on my life and what I've been walking in. And so I declare, my spiritual father's in this region as well. That's right, because Jack's my spiritual father. And I speak to the region in Jesus' name. And I command in Jesus' name. Which way is north? Really? Really?
North is that way.
Okay, all right. North is this way? All right, can we all agree that north is this way? All right, everyone stand up and just kind of point in this direction. All right, say that is north. Yeah, so come from the north. Yeah, point to the east. just look to the east real quick and say come from the east. Look to the west and say come from the west. Look to the south. Say come from the south in Jesus' name. And say this, and if you come, we will care for you. We will love you. We will pastor you. We will graft you in. We will allow you to be who God called you to be. And we'll foster every good thing on the inside of you. And Lord, that means that you've got to change me. And I allow you to change me. Matter of fact, I'm asking you to change me. And it's not going to be easy. And sometimes it's going to hurt a little bit. You're going to root things out, tear things down, lift things up, and build things on the inside of me. And I give you permission to cause me to become who you want me to be, so I can love them the way you want them loved. Now lift up a shout to God. All right, I'm just getting real family here. I'm pulling my shirt tail out, and it's wrinkled, and I know it's wrinkled. You don't have to tell me, but I don't care, because I just don't care. That's, you know, that's just a good way of saying it. So you turned a corner, and you're about to launch, and God is bringing teens and children and couples, and he's bringing it's going to be real fun. You're going to get someone here that is on a college campus, but not just attending a college campus, but they're kind of there as a missionary. They're kind of attending, they take a couple classes, but they're attending there really as a mission, but they haven't found the covering they need. And they've been searching and asking God, and all of a sudden they're going to land here, and you guys are going to find them and see them, and it's going to be real good. So and know that that's going to be the mark of a different generation that's coming in. You're going to have to figure out how to deal with millennials, because I haven't figured them out. I have like several of them as children, and God help me. But they are not going to, they're not going to accept church as usual. What made us comfortable, and what we walked in and functioned in, you know, the music we did and the way we did music and the way we did flags and the way we did prophetic and the way we did all of those things. It's not that we are going to let go of any of that, but the method by which we do these kind of things is going to have to transform. to allow for what God is up to and how he wants us to love. Because it's not love to present things to people in a method they cannot receive. We teach tithing and giving of offerings, and we teach all of that, and we teach that it's God to do that, and we teach that when you give, that God's going to take what you give and multiply it. And literally, we go as far as we declare that when you present offering like this, tithes like this, that God receives it in the treasuries of heaven. Then he takes and he multiplies it based on the heart with which it was given. That's very important to remember. If you give with the wrong heart, it gets multiplied in the same way that you give. And so if you give with a joyful heart, that's why God said give hilariously, and which means it is just bringing the greatest level of joy when you give. And the reason he's saying that is because it affects the way that it's multiplied in heaven. So the angels take and they account it, they certify it, they make an accounting of it. They also attach to it the exact method and heart with which it was given. And then they attach to it the wisdom to create and sustain wealth. And they also kingdomize it. Now, kingdomized means, well, let me give you an example of kingdomized. When Moses and the people of Israel walked through the desert, they were kingdomized. It is what happens when your shoes don't wear out and your clothes don't wear out. How's that possible? You walk in the desert for 40 years and your shoes don't wear out. Well, that's impossible unless you're operating on a different kingdom structure, on a different kingdom level. And that's exactly what being kingdomized means. It means that your money goes further. It means that it does more of what it's supposed to do. It means where you put your money, it has a mark of the kingdom on it. That when you give that extra tip at the restaurant, and how many of you know we need to be more generous? Come on, somebody, because generosity is the sign of nobility. As a matter of fact, in the New Testament, and I believe the Old, the word for nobility is the same word for generosity. And the reason the believer can be generous is because when the believer is generous, they're trusting not in their own ability to create wealth, but they're trusting that they're a child of the God. And how many of you know that a prince receives a whole different provision for need than the pauper does? A prince needs a whole lot, a whole different array of provision than the pauper does. And if you're a prince and God is the father and he's the king of all kings, then his method of provision is much greater than otherwise if you were just, hey, God, feed me and keep me covered and put some heat in my house, please. And I believe the king wants more. There's several of you, as I prophesied to you this week, I said, you need to believe God for more. Yeah. And you do. Shoo. Yes, Lord, I had no intention of teaching on tithing. But I'm telling you, God has, you've turned a corner and you're launching, and those that are going to be coming, they're going to need a lot of care. They're going to have a lot of need for diapers being changed. You know, Alice, you're going to be one who just really cares about the people that make lots of messes. And you're going to be able to help them just grow and mature, because you're going to say, well, look what the Lord did to me. Look what the Lord has done. Amen. I'm not joking. I'm dead serious. It's coming. And so so thank you, Lord. So, Lord, I'm very grateful for this house. I'm very grateful for what you're establishing and what you're doing here in this house. And I talked to Charlie last night, Pastor Charlie, excuse me. I talked to him last night, and I just told him how thrilled I was with you all. Like, y'all grown from when I was here last. I mean, you were good then, but now it's like, ooh, come on. And I'm telling you, you've been growing. You say, well, yeah, but you don't know about, oh, don't be so sure.
Yeah, don't be so sure.
He tells me stuff. I mean, we talk, we cry, we laugh, but you're way better off than what you were. And I got to tell you, the elders have been just stepping up, and they are breaking stout. I'm very proud of you all. Really. Now, I wouldn't say this if he was here, because I just wouldn't. It just, I don't think I could do that. But my brother, Charles Coker, I couldn't be more proud of him right now. Because your evidence of what God is up to, and he and Susie have just poured themselves. And because they poured themselves out as an offering, then God takes that offering, and because of the heart they gave it, the whole process, and it multiplies, and then they have leaders and elders, and man, the worship, good night, Stephanie. Amen. Hey. I heard you could sing, but wow, yeah, you're loaded, and you are resilient. You scare the devil. No. Really. Because he hits you and thinks that he's going to take you down. You know, you remember those things when we were kids? Like those blow-up things, like you hit them, and they go down, and then they, you know, Bozo the Clown or whatever. Well, you're not Bozo, yeah.
Clara.
Yeah.
Clara.
Yeah. You just keep. And you know how to use the authority. That's why Hannah and Gracie. That's why things are on them like that. And Jonah and Noah and I'm sorry, I don't remember some of the other guys' names, but I just got around them a little bit. And thank you. Thank you. Mother's anointing. Cool. Yeah. Thank you. Your dad is so proud of you. He's like, it's my daughter. Come on. You feel that pleasure too, don't you? Thank you. Sorry, just hold for a minute. Can I give you a hug? Your pleasure, Lord, your pleasure. Thank you. Thank you. Come on. Whew. Thank you, Lord, for that. Yeah. All right, Holy Ghost. It's Luke, right? Yeah. So you've seen this fathering thing, and you've kind of like went, okay, and you've seen a lot of people talk about it and start to walk in it, but then ebb and flow and all that kind of stuff, and you've kind of, you're like cautiously like, okay, God, I believe that's real, but he's bringing spiritual sons into your path that you're not going to deny. Like, you can't deny these guys need a dad, and it's just going to demand that you step up into that. And you got this huge heart. I don't know you, I'm sorry, but I know you're a great guy because Charlie esteems you highly, and but your heart is such that you're just going to gravitate and become a spiritual father, and you're going to say, God, I don't even know how to do this. I don't know what to do. I don't like, that's not my wheelhouse. God says, yes, it is, because you've been a good son. And if you're a good son, you can be a good father. Amen. There are a number of you that are coming into that season. Mike, you've fathered guys before, but you've also fathered some real knuckleheads that have just gotten weird and you know, I mean, they're gone and like, what did I do wrong, God? No, God says, no, they had the anointing of a knucklehead. All right. And so you just bless them and love on them, and you don't hate on them, and you don't like, you just recognize that, okay, that's what was going on, but you're coming into another season where you're going to be fathering guys. So look, it's important this house embrace, I'm submitting this to you all, okay? But it's important that you embrace fathering. That has no gender specificity, ladies. You understand that. If I can be the bride of Christ, ladies, you can be a son of God, okay? But you're coming into I'm just giving you some instruction right now, because I'm leaving this afternoon, and then you all going to have to work this out, right? But I just want to be very obedient to Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you what he's telling me right now. There has to be not just Charlie being the father of the house. There has to be fathers that are rising up, mothers that are rising up. And look, the greatest way that you can get yourself in the mode of fathering is just to ratchet up your being a son, a daughter. So get ready for that. But listen, you talk to God about that. Jay, talk to God about that. Talk to God about fathering. There's people that only you can father that Ken cannot father. You understand? Jeff will father people that Rodney cannot father, because they're going to be drawn to him, and they don't know why, but it's because, look, relationship is self-evident. You understand? When you get in relationship with someone, it becomes self-evident. It's just, it's my tribe. Why is it your tribe? Well, because it is. Well, how do you know it's your tribe? I don't know. I just know. This is my tribe. When I saw Papa Jack, and I went, whoa, I didn't expect this. I wasn't looking for him to be my father, but God just connected my heart to him before he ever said any words over me. And the second time I got around him in a son's gathering, he puts his hands on me and he says to me, he said, son, who's your father? Well, you just called me son. Hello. And I said, well, you are. He said, that's what I thought. He said, let's make it official. And so he lays hands on me and releases me to be a son. And the real dynamic that's really exciting, you all been close, and sometimes a little too close. You know what I'm talking about. Sometimes things, you know, you're looking at the clay instead of the gold. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Caution. Do not look at my brother. Do not look at clay. You get your eyes up and look at the gold. It's far more powerful than what you can imagine. Because unless you've traveled with him, unless you've been with him out there, you have not a clue who he really is and the anointing that he walks in. Get your eyes off the clay. Just stop right now. We just need to minister that right now. Yeah, just... You good with this,
yep.
Gary? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Susie, you good with this? Yeah, let's just deal with that right now. Stand up with me. Yep. Yeah. And if you've done this, then just, you don't need to shout it out, but just say to the Lord, yeah, Lord, I've seen clay. Yeah, I've seen clay. Now I ask you, forgive me for looking at the clay instead of the gold. So turn my eyes right now, from this moment forward, my eyes are locked on to the gold. It's you that looks at the clay and adjusts the clay. It's me that's to look at the gold. In Jesus' name. Now just touch your eyes and just say, right now, say you are attracted now to gold. And not just in my leaders, but in my brothers and sisters. In Jesus' name. And all the people of God said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Yeah. So one more thought and then I'm going to go. Okay. One more thought and then I'm going to end. You got something, Dan, you want to preach? Come on. Show it to me. No, I'm kidding. I see. Gary is very gracious. He is very gracious. He told a story on Friday night. He was at my place, and I said, hey, Gary, go shut the grill off. And he goes over to the grill, and he's like turning the knobs, and he says, bro, it's not shutting off. And I said, well, that's because it's charcoal. But wait. So that's the way he told the story. But what he didn't tell you, it was a redneck grill. So my gas unit burnt out, and so I put charcoal inside. He didn't uncover me that I was being a redneck. So he was being very sweet and gracious. So look, one last thought I want to give to you, and then I'm going to finish, and I'll be here to pray for anyone if you want me to. Or see, as your hearts turn to be fathers, the side benefit that I didn't understand of Jack Taylor being my spiritual father, the richness that I got was not just Jack Taylor, although Jack is, wow, you know what I'm talking about. But I'm telling you, he would just be a portion of richness. The real richness that I got were my brothers. They're what, listen, because fathers prepare you for battle, but you go into battle with your brothers. Yeah. And so brothers, and again, no gender specific, right? Is that okay if I just use the term brothers, ladies? Are you all right with that? I'll say brothers and sisters if you want, but I mean you both, right? But here's the thing. So because you enter into fatherhood, then you bring to your family a richness that you cannot give alone. You bring brothers into your spiritual family, okay? If you refuse to be a father, your children will not get the richness of the other spiritual relationships called brothers and sisters. So if you love your children, because people... Tim Taylor is a tremendous example of a brother who shares his father because he understands the richness he gets from the lateral relationships with his brothers and sisters. And he is far richer than what he gives up from his father. Are you with me? And listen, the other thing about being a father, when you have sons, the more sons you have, the greater your capacity, because the greater grace that's on your life, the greater the reservoir to have greater grace, because you're giving yourself to something God's calling you to. Does that make sense? All right, so that's the last thought that I have. My head is completely empty right now. It is gone, and yeah. Sure, what do you want to tell me? Can Miss Debbie stand up? Miss Debbie, would you stand up? I have no idea where Chad's going with this. I'm a little scared right now. Yeah? Superheroes, come on. Every time you see, so I'm saying this so the camera hears this, right? So every time you see Miss Debbie dancing on every Sunday, you see superheroes. Yay, that's sweet, man. Come on. Come on. Captain Marvel, baby. Captain Marvel. Come on. Come on. Yeah. Yeah. Angels too. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Thanks for sharing, buddy. Give Chad a hand clap. He did good. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, hey, just in closing, I love you all. Man, I just really do. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the tremendous privilege of being able to come and just be, you just welcome me so thoroughly. I know Janice has multiple times just encouraged me to thank you for getting me out of the house for a little bit longer. And but she loves you. I'm sure she'll be with me the next time, and I can't wait for you all to meet her. We're having a gathering up in Pennsylvania that I'd invite you all to, anyone that would like to come. It's a family gathering. Papa Jack's going to be there. Charlie's going to be there. There's a bunch of family that's going to be there. Call us, and the dates are the 17th, the weekend of the 17th of May. And so if you want details, you can get hold of me, and we'll help you in any of the logistics up there. The books, I'd rather not take any home. So if you don't have the money for a book, please just take one. And so I love you. Thank you so much. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You can also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read the Bible, take notes, connect with us on social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into Identity Sunday Morning Message, where sonship is revealed. Have a blessed day.